Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
One of the things about all of this that is the most amazing is when Katie Ledecky wins and then you're watching and then the there's nobody else even close. and then 10 seconds later, the next swimmer comes into the frame and you're like, oh my God. So she is unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable to see what she has done in the pool for the Americans. It's crazy.
That shot of Ledecky will never get old, no matter how many times we see it. Olympic champion for the 8th time.
8 times. That is unbelievable. And seriously, like when you look at the times involved in this, you know, 8 times, compare that to things like Usain Bolt has 8. You know, and how much notoriety did he get? Now, obviously, you have Michael Phelps at 23. He's not even in the same category, right? But Larissa Latina is at 9. Paavo Nurmi is at 9. Carl Lewis at 9. Mark Spitz at 9. And Katie Ledecky with Caleb Dressel and Jenny Thompson all at 8 Olympic gold. That is unbelievable. And I love, the afterwards, you know, because she's, you know, sometimes people, they're stars and they're, you know, they let it go to their head a little bit or they change a little bit. Katie Ledecky has always been kind of the just, you know, the girl next door, the sweet, just, I can't believe this gets to happen to me kind of person.
Fastest time. Let's go down to Melissa.
Katie now tied for the most golds and overall Olympic medals of any American woman in history. When you hear that, what is your reaction?
I'm just so honored to represent our country and those women that have set the standard for so many years have inspired me. They inspired me when I first started swimming. So thank you to them. Thank you to everyone that has supported me all these years.
Like, that's just her. That's always been her. Just, you know how, like, baseball players, they interview them and they're like, I'm just happy to be here, just trying to contribute to the team. And, I hope the coach puts me in and, you know, we'll do it as long as we can. And, you know, the fans are great and I wouldn't have been here except for all the help that I got. You know, like, they give them their 8 bullet points that every baseball player knows to say. And, you know, for some of it's true and for some of it's a line and whatever. It's you learn over time. With Katie Ledecky, that's just her. She's just genuine, honest. And did you know, even though she's not a Florida girl, she is an adopted Florida girl because she trains at UF.
A reaction by you after that race. What are you most proud of about that swim?
I'm proud of the time. I just really wanted to swim a time that I could feel really proud of and happy with. And I kind of let my mind wander during the race, thinking of all the people that have trained with me. It was kind of like saying their names in my head and thinking about them. So to my Florida crew, all those Florida boys that push me every day, I love you guys. I mean, it's. I know I make your life hard a lot of days, but you guys made my life a lot easier today. So thank you so much.
Yeah, man. So after the last Olympics, she announced that she was going to start training in Florida at the University of Florida. And I guess she actually sort of helps coach the team, apparently, which, you know, makes perfect sense. Volunteer swim coach for the Florida Gators. with Coach Anthony Nesty. So kind of a cool thing. I like that. 5:15 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, and in other Olympics news, just because it's not the kind of thing that you get to see very often, but it's if you've been watching the swimming, it's kind of a slow pool. I mean, you don't get a lot. You're not getting a lot of records set. And you might think water's water. I mean, the equipment matters, and the equipment at the track matters. The equipment in the pool matters. You know, even though there's, you know, you might think that, but no, it actually can make a big difference. But there was a race, the 100-meter free, which is, you know, freestyle, like Australian crawl. You know, if you don't know swimming, that's the way everybody swims. If they're just swimming in the pool, basically the fastest way you can possibly swim. And I had watched one of the prelims. I haven't been watching a lot of the warm-up races, the semis, you know, that kind of stuff. But I happened to catch one of the semis. And the Chinese swimmer, Pan Zhanlei, oh, my God. Like, just in another category entirely in terms of his end-of-race kick, how fast he can get ahead of the group at the end of the race. You know, I watched him in the semi, and he was behind down in lane 8. And then all of a sudden, he was like, oh my God, he passed everybody. And you don't typically pass from the outside lanes because, you know, those are the slower lanes. That's why if you don't qualify well, you get put in those lanes. But then they had the 100-meter free final last night.
Australia, no goals tonight. The men haven't won a gold yet. Pond is swimming tough in lane 4. Alexi, second from the bottom, trying to get on the podium for the Americans. But Pond in lane 4 is going to easily hold off the field. He takes the gold to scramble for the silver. It's Chalmers. And Pond has a world record. The first one set here in Paris in the Olympic pool.
The first world record set in these Olympics in the pool, which is weird because you typically have several by this point. And so the first one set. And in terms of margin, like Katie Ledecky won by 10 seconds. It's unheard of in the 1500. I mean, it's just everybody else is running a different race. Same thing in the 100 with Pan Zhanlei. Like, he finished a world record time of 46.4. Okay, 46.4 was his time. The next best time was a full second back. So one guy does it in 46 seconds. The next guy is 47 seconds. In that length, that's like running the 100. One guy does it in 10 and one guy does it in 11. It's crazy, that distinction. Just to put it in perspective, the Australian who came in silver, Kyle Chalmers, 47.48, so more than a second late. 47.48, David Popovich, who's very fast, 47.49, Nandor Nemeth, 47.50. The next three guys were a hundredth of a second apart from each other and all bunched up in the next, like, half a second. Everybody else finished the next half a second. He was a full second ahead, and that's just ridiculously fast. 5:18 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about selling your home or trying to decide if now is the right time to do it or whether you should wait or what the interest rates are going to do or what the market is doing, or, you know, and a lot of times you think about the market in terms of the market is a thing. Well, no, I mean, you know, the market at 400,000 in Warrington might be different than the market at 800,000 in Gulf Breeze. And what you need to know is not what's the market doing. You need to know what is your home doing, really. And that depends on what's happening in your price range in your particular geography, because it doesn't help you much if the market's hot in a part of town that you're not selling in, right? And you want to know where's the right place. So she can help you with, Christina Leavenworth can help with all that. Selling 175 homes last year, about 3.5 a week, which is pretty good. A lot of real estate agents would be happy to sell, you know, one a month. And she's selling 3.5 a week, which is, like I said, pretty good. So she and her team do fantastic work. And they've got this whole system for getting you the best price and the best time. And, you know, when the market was hot a couple of years ago, helpful because she'll get your best price. When the market is not as hot right now and might even be, you know, slightly in a down market, even more important to have a high-quality real estate agent who knows how to market and make your home stand out among the crowd and give you the best advice possible for right now. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With four Sunny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
Did you know your life insurance is an asset you can sell? I'm Jay Jackson, CEO of Abacus Life. For almost 20 years, Abacus has been purchasing life insurance policies from seniors just like you. And at abacuspays.com, we've created a free policy value calculator so you can find out the worth of your policy in just seconds. There are no fees and no obligations. Get real value from your life insurance when you need it with Abacus. Learn more at abacuspays.com.
As a rideshare driver, I love keeping my car smelling fresh and clean. So when I'm driving, I only trust new Febreze car vent clips, now with 3 times greater scent control, because it's that little touch that sets me apart. I can turn the intensity down for subtle freshness, or I can turn it up for when I want lots of scent. So whether it's set to low, medium, or high, with new Febreze car, I know my car's going to smell amazing, which keeps my driver rating right where it belongs. Picking up, Oscar! La, 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 la.
I'm Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools. Under my leadership, we have expanded our honors, advanced placement, and dual enrollment classes, started a middle school sports program, middle and high school orchestra program, girls beach volleyball program, and Santa Rosa is now a Space Florida Space Academy school district. Let's continue to expand the opportunities for our students. On August 20th, vote to re-elect Dr. Karen Barber for Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'd have succeeded if it weren't for those meddling kids.
Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning. Former President Trump is going to head back to the city of his attempted assassination, Butler, Pennsylvania. He was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania last night for a rally. The first time he's been back in the state since that happened about 3 weeks ago. He told his supporters at last night's rally that he was not deterred by that attack.
You know, one of the things we talked about quite a bit when I was at the Republican National Convention talking with Bobby and everybody else about this was, how is this going to affect him long term?
Right.
You know, how much is it going to? Because you could definitely tell when he gave his speech at the RNC that it was still heavy on his mind and, you know, some of the things he said, like, I'm not even supposed to be here, you know, that kind of stuff. You could tell, which is totally normal. 5 days
it's
after?
It's so traumatic.
I mean, completely normal to have that kind of a reaction. Like you say, it's very, very distressing. And any trauma can come back on you, right? You know,
it's just
Tuesday morning and all of a sudden, you know, you've talked about it. You know, it's Tuesday morning. All of a sudden I'm getting shot at or having a bomb blow up near me. You know, like, that's normal.
Right.
But I will tell you that based on the things I have seen since then, I don't think he's changed much.
He is getting back closer to normal. I will say that.
Yeah, I would say that the...
For good or for bad.
The brash, annoying, wonderful, delightful, horrible...
You know, love him or hate him, he is who he is.
He is.
Yeah.
And, you know, did you watch any of the National Association of Black Journalists stuff yesterday?
I did. And it was... It was so interesting.
Can I play it?
I'm gonna
play it a little bit later probably as well, but I will save it. It was fascinating.
It really was.
It was super Trumpian.
It very much so, and it was interesting because the room seemed very hostile towards him. So I don't really know how anybody would handle that type of thing. I think he came out about as well as he could given the situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was boos and cackles and laughs and
right.
Granted, he did some stuff to invite that.
He did, yeah.
But yeah, it was not. But I mean, I give him credit for going to a place where it's likely to be a hostile audience. You know, anybody who does. I said it yesterday.
And I mean,
I give credit for Obama going to Notre Dame and talking about abortion. I mean,
the very first question that was asked, though, you could tell that just set the pace for the event.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Go on.
I kind of interrupted your newscast. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, that is all right. A wildfire burning north of Denver has now turned deadly. Fire officials say human remains were found in a burned home in Boulder County. Investigators there working to determine that person's identity. The Stone Canyon fire has been burning since Tuesday. That's burned 5 homes now and 1,500 acres.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 525 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has got a great selection of good quality used cars, 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition, good prices, and they stand behind them. I always talk about this, and I get in the habit of saying things kind of quickly and passing them by, not, you know, dwelling on it much because, you know, you only have so much time, you know, talking about an advertiser. But the A-quality cars part is, like, if they've got it on the lot, it's a good car. You know, when you go to some used car places, you know, you see there's a range of quality. Let's just put it that way. You might find a car that's fantastic, and then you might find a car that, you know, you wouldn't sell to your own brother-in-law and you hate your brother-in-law. Right? Like that kind of a place. At Frontier, they don't, it's all A. They don't put it out on the lot unless it's a good quality car. And the reason that they do that, not just because it's good business practice, but because they know they're going to stand by that car. They're going to follow up with you and make sure you're happy. And if there's a problem, they'll take care of it. Because the reason you're coming to them is not because you want to take a risk on a car, but because you just want to save some money and you're willing to get a car that's not brand new. And so they partner with you to make sure that you have peace of mind about that. And so they're only going to sell cars that they're willing to stand behind because they don't want to sell you one car. They want to sell you every car for the rest of your life. And that's kind of the model. But when I say, you know, high quality, low miles, you know, fairly new A quality, that's what I mean. Like really good quality cars. That's only what they put on the lot. So if you're looking for a good quality car, Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Oh, the story that you heard David mention at the top of the hour, Paradigm Parachute and Defense, the note about that story, maybe it doesn't hit home as much for all of y'all, but there's a building outside of the University Mall on the backside of University Mall where the old American Water Company used to operate out of, and that's been vacant now for a couple of years. I don't even know. It's, I kind of forget. Well, that building just all of a sudden the other day, if you drive the, you know, the perimeter road around University Mall on the north side, which is right by our building here, the Cat Country building, the news radio building, I drive right past that every single morning, and all of a sudden the other day I'm like, oh, there's a lot of cars here. Parachute, what is that? You know, and it's a parachute manufacturer that had been over on Ashland, I think, and they moved recently into this new building and got a grant for it, and just kind of one of those cool things like, oh, hey, you know, there's a company here in Pensacola that's extraordinarily effective and makes parachutes so well that they had to move into a much bigger building. So that's a really good news note for our area, and I just kind of, you know, take a second to celebrate. 437-1620. I know at this time of the morning we tend to have a lot of folks that are in the military, but even if you are not in the military, this is a pretty big story, and it's kind of been headline stuff, but also not. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, the guy who basically designed the 9/11 attack, he's agreed to a guilty plea with the Defense Department. He and two accomplices, Waleed bin Attash and Mustafa al-Hawasawi, who both names that I don't think anybody hears very often, they're expected to enter plea as a military commission at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, as soon as next week. This is after, God, you know, what, 23 years later, right? And, you know, he's been waterboarded endlessly, like, 183 times or something like that. Other forms of coercive questioning. I don't call it torture because I think that category means something, and there's been a long-running debate about whether waterboarding qualifies as torture or is it just enhanced interrogation? Is it legal? Is it not legal? I just think I don't like to play with word definitions, and though it's extraordinarily unpleasant, I don't think it actually falls into the category of torture. But certainly it's the kind of practice that makes you question the validity of anything that gets said. And in fact, that's been the legal issue in trying to try him for the murders of the 9/11 victims, has been trying to try him for this, is the, you know, you have inadmissibility issues when you have evidence that comes out of any kind of testimony by the defendant that came after enhanced interrogation, right? That's been one of the challenges. Now, the good news here is finally saying I'm guilty. The bad news is that means we're not going to see the trial. We're not going to have the evidence. We're not going to get that sense of, you know, proving it and closing it. And some of the, you know, families victims groups have, or victims families groups have said that you know, they just wanted to see them be tried, you know, be vanquished, so to speak, in public. Because, boy, I'll tell you, one of the, it is a flaw of a sort that our system is so slow, meaning that that sense of satisfaction or justice brought against people who do evil can take so long to get for victims' families or even victims if they survive, that is a flaw. But it's a byproduct of trying to do things right and be fair and give all the possible opportunity to exonerate people who might be inappropriately convicted. Obviously, that's not a relevant factor here, but that has been what has hung this up for so long.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Life in prison, not the death penalty for the alleged mastermind behind the 9/11 attacks and two other terrorists after striking plea deals.
In a letter to the victims' families obtained by the New York Post, prosecutors explain, in exchange for the removal of the death penalty as a possible punishment, these three accused have agreed to plead guilty to all the charged offenses, including the murder of the 2,976 people listed in the charge sheet.
And it's Fox's Chandler Painter. Brett Eagleson lost his father in the attacks.
Oh, it's just terrible, and it's shocking.
Eagleson last hour on Fox and Friends First. The Israeli military confirms it killed the head of Hamas's military wing, Mohammed Deif, in a July airstrike in southern Gaza. Hamas denies he was killed, and the former president, Donald Trump, will talk to the FBI today in a victim statement. I'll have a chance to tell the Bureau about that fateful day when he was nearly assassinated. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. It's 78 right now. Partly cloudy skies this morning. We are learning a bit more now about the security policies in place at the Wedgewood Community Center after last weekend's tragic shooting. The Neighborhood Association, which subleases the community center for events, says they do require security for larger events. But the basketball game that was happening Sunday night did not meet those requirements.
The basketball game that was here Sunday evening, it wasn't over 100 people, maybe between 30 and 40 people, so no security was required.
That is Wedgewood Community Association Vice Chair Deborah Lawrence, and she says that there was another basketball game earlier in the day that did have security on hand. That shooting happened outside of the community center, and that was where a group was apparently holding a dice game at the pavilion. Seven people were shot, including two young men who died. One of the victims was an 11-year-old child. An update today on that tropical wave heading west towards Florida. That the cone, as of the 2 a.m. update, the cone for that storm has moved a bit closer to our area. The wave does have the potential to develop into a tropical depression as it moves closer to Florida. Currently, the wave producing disorganized showers and thunderstorms over Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and the northern Leeward Islands. The National Hurricane Center has given that storm about a 60% chance of development over the next week. Florida West Economic Development Alliance announcing yesterday that Paradigm Parachute and Defense, which is a disabled veteran-owned small business, has received another Industry Resilience and Diversification Fund grant. That grant allows them to move into a new, larger building with an environment that they say will just be more conducive to their manufacturing process.
Again, we manufacture parachutes, but we do a lot of research and development of aerial delivery, which is now, you know, we expanded to space reentry, deaccelerator parachutes, personnel parachutes, and aerial delivery equipment.
And that is Alex Alvarado, the co-owner and CEO of Paradigm. The grant was administered through the University of West Florida. They say that will assist with the expansion of their manufacturing operations here in Pensacola. Pensacola airport officials say the TSA has been improving their operation here at our airport. Director Matt Coughlin says the organization is required to self-report if wait times are ever over 35 minutes. Last year, that happened 14 times. So far this year, it's only happened 4 times. Coughlin tells News Radio that terminal exits are also being reconfigured to free up some more space for the TSA queue lines.
Creates a lot of space right there in the queuing area for the pre-security checkpoint. And so hopefully we're going to mitigate a lot of those long lines that went down the hall, because the optic of such was, if you're a customer, you're coming in here and you go, oh, you got to go down the hallway and stand in line. when you see that, you think you're going to be waiting a couple hours. Now it's going to be much quicker. It's just more streamlined operation.
And Coughlin says those new terminal exits are shorter, and they're currently testing that design. After a test period, they'll make those changes permanent. 5:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to have a chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms today. 40% chance of rain. Temperatures getting hot in the afternoon. Heat advisory in place. Highs near 94 degrees, feeling like the triple digits. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79. Keeping the hot and humid forecast around on Friday with a high near 94, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And 78 degrees this morning in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze, 79 in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Join Claimology this morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storms claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions so you'll know what you need before the next storm arrives.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, I'm Rhett Rowell, a lifelong Santa Rosa County resident, and I'm a candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission, District 3. I'm running because Santa Rosa has real problems affecting you every day, including traffic congestion and improper drainage. We can do better. Santa Rosa County needs a unifier, and I am that voice. I would be humbled to receive your vote. From sand to soil across our great county, I will be your common sense conservative commissioner that you will be proud of. Please visit RhettRowell.com to learn more.
Paid for and approved by Rhett Rowell, Santa Rosa County Commission.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
And you can dance for inspiration. Come on.
Another easy one for you, Bobby. We need a new bridge to Navarre. How would you like to pay for that?
Well, that is a tough one. I would think, say, let's go to the bridge builders and get bond money for them and go through that. I'm not for putting a big toll like a lot of them have. Go with the state, see if we can't get some money from the state on it. But we definitely need a bridge, and the bond money from bridge builders, I think, would be a way to go with our reasonable toll, because from what I understand, the state's not going to do any more free tolls anymore. So I'd say that it ought to be under control of Santa Rosa County commissioners to make sure we have a reasonable toll on that, not this $4 or $5 like we're going through in some of the areas now. And that would be what I'd go for.
So Bobby Burkett is one of the candidates running for District 1. That Sam Parker currently occupies that seat, and this is at the Santa Rosa County Chamber of Commerce for Navarre, the Navarre Chamber of Commerce candidate forum that I was hosting or moderating. I guess they were the host. I was a moderator. I don't know. These words don't matter a lot. But, you know, I was asking the questions and they put up the venue. How about that? And Bobby Burkett, his answer, I didn't think that was all that substantial of an answer, but at least you could hear him say, well, you know, $5 a toll for the new bridge in Navarre would be too much. He didn't give a number that he would be shooting to make it be okay. Aaron Williams, next candidate.
How should the new bridge be paid for?
Well, we're going to have to get innovative. One of the ideas that I have is we have about $20 million that shook out of our budget. What I want to do is create what I would like to call a little small engine of revenue, similar to what they did in Foley. They took their, there's a big need in our country for youth and amateur sports to find places to go and compete at, and also vacation. I think Santa Rosa County should, we should take the opportunity and build ourselves a sports complex to generate revenue that we can use to pay for our infrastructure needs, that we can use to show that we just don't want to rely so much on money that we can get loans for. A good book says, you know, we shouldn't be moving by getting in debt. And we need to figure out creative ways to generate revenue in order to pay for things. We don't have to do things the same way our ancestors did it. We don't have to do things the way our grandparents did. We can come up with new innovative ways to do our money.
So this is an interesting answer, okay? Because he doesn't give a funding mechanism for the bridge per se. He kind of does. He says, what I would intend to do is I want to create a sports complex, sports tourism complex, which would take its own investment, right? And then we're going to turn that basically into an enterprise fund that's going to generate a bunch of money for the county so that the county can be making money off of this industry that it's running of sports tourism. And then we won't have to depend on people for, you know, sales taxes or property taxes in order to fund infrastructure projects like the Navarre Bridge replacement. It's possible it could work. It's also possible it could lose money for the county. And what you're really talking about doing is starting a business, right? Is the county, his proposal is, and that's why I say it's an interesting proposal. It's kind of an odd proposal. It chased me a little bit as sort of a government shouldn't be competing against private business. And I don't want government in the speculation business. That ship may have sailed a long time ago. The city of Pensacola is an enterprise. It's got the port. It's got the airport. It's got Pensacola Energy. It's not that unheard of to have a government having some kind of an enterprise. And, you know, the idea would be it needs to be an enterprise that doesn't compete against private industry. You know, I hate it when the government is in a business that pushes private industry out. But if it's occupying a space that private industry doesn't seem to have an interest in, you get less of an objection to it. But still, it's a weird one. I mean, it's a weird answer. He's saying, look, I think that we ought to start some businesses as a county. And one of those businesses is sports tourism. And let's create some money that way. It's worked for other areas. And if we do that, then not only can we provide a service, obviously, tourism, sports, and the various tourism development money that would come from that. And we can maybe pay for the bridge that way. It seems optimistic. Could work. But seems optimistic and very maybe, right? It's not, it strikes me more as a hope and not a plan. But Aaron, you know, very sharp guy and, you know, seemed to like him personally. I've heard him talk about a lot of different stuff. And, you know, maybe he's got more details to that plan. He only had a minute to answer. I just thought that was such an unusual answer. I wanted to feature it. Sam Parker, same question. How would you pay for the Navarre? Because remember, this company had come to the Santa Rosa Commission recently and said, we'll build you the bridge. We'll manage the tolls. You won't have to pay for it at all. We'll take care of the funding for it out of what we make back in tolls over the years. And we're your solution. And depending on which bridge you go with is how much toll. And basically the commissioners who are all in an election year said, we're not agreeing to some toll bridge in an election year. Are you crazy? And then the question is, well, then how are you going to pay for it? And their answer was, well, what? Well, what was the question? Don Gates got it for Pensacola, got that bridge for free. Maybe he can do that again. Well, Don Gates is not going to be able to get this bridge for free. Even if he gets reelected to the Senate, that seems very, very, very unlikely for the replacement for the Navarre Beach Bridge. So being honest about that, and some of them were like, well, you know, Trump, if he gets in office, he likes Florida. Maybe we swing some more infrastructure money from Trump. So the Trump fairy magic wand is going to solve it. Just no good answers, okay? They said no to the proposal, but they didn't have any alternate. Sam Parker, then I asked him the question in the forum.
Sam, same question. New bridge, how do you pay for it?
Yeah, so just to bring you up to speed, because you'll hear a lot of gossip out there, and I think some people just innocently don't know. So we completed a feasibility study, and what that feasibility study showed was that you have basically three options that were realistic as far as where the bridge would start and where it would land. So currently, we're ready to hire a firm to do a PD&E, which is planning, design, engineering, to determine which one of those three would be the most feasible economically and least environmentally impact. Quite frankly, you know, you're pie in the sky when you start talking about how do you pay for something that you have no idea where it's going to go exactly, what it's going to cost. The PD&E, along with, by the time you determine that, then do the engineering, then sub it out for construction bids, you're looking at best case scenario 5 years if there's no impediments right now. So I will tell you, we are waiting to hire the firm for the PD&E because we are currently working with the state so that we can pass the muster with them to be able to get state funding to help with that.
I agree with some of that, but the notion that it's 5 years out, therefore we don't know what we're even talking about yet, that's what he's saying, pie in the sky. No, sir. You know, you need to be planning for that now. And, you know, you can take a ballpark guess. It's going to be $200 million. You know, it's going to be $150 million. It's going to be $300 million. You might be only able to get within $20 or $30 million of an estimate, and you're certainly still having the question of which landing spot and which, you know, which path are you going to take for that bridge. And so we understand that, you know, there may be different prices. But that doesn't mean you don't think about the funding mechanism yet. That doesn't mean that you don't come up with a plan and say, okay, I think we slice off this much of our ad valorem and it's going to be this much, and I think local option sales tax is going to develop this much, and I think we can use this much of the local option sales tax for it because it's tourism related to getting the infrastructure to the beach. That's going to leave us with this much gap. You know, we're going to go to the state for this much. We're going to go to the feds for this much. And it, you know, at least kind of cobble together a, you know, bar napkin kind of version of that. Because just saying it's pie in the sky and it's 5 years away becomes it's pie in the sky and it's 4 years away, and it's pie in the sky and it's 3 years away, and it's pie in the sky and it's 2 years away, and it's pie in the sky and it's a year away, and it's pie in the sky. Oh, crap! You know, which is how both of our counties have kind of done things for a long time. Very common. And the reason is obvious, because nobody who's in the chair today typically is eager to tell people, you know, we just have to bear down and spend a whole bunch of money on this thing that nobody really wants to spend money on. It's going to cost you more. But we need to do it now for like 8 years from now. And even though I'm probably not even going to be in this seat anymore, we need to start talking about spending that money now. And, you know, it's hard conversations and leadership and planning. And, you know, that's what you want out of a government. We don't always get it. We have a structure in our American system that doesn't particularly incentivize long-term planning because, you know, 2 years away from an election or 4 years away from an election in every case. So, you know, what kind of credit do you get for being the guy that's making a plan for 20 years from now? That, by the way, an in-between election might totally upset that plan. So you just, our system doesn't build well for long-term planning. It's one of the, if you want to call it a downfall of democracy, you can, and it is. I'm not saying there's a better way to do it out there. I'm just saying that's one of the things we ought to be honest about, that being a flaw. So I didn't particularly love that answer from Sam that, you know, we shouldn't think about it because we don't know exactly how much it's going to cost. Now, I came back with the other folks and asked them that same question, you know, the other candidates from District, who did I ask? District 3, I think it was. From District 3. Now, James Calkins was not there. He did not participate. He is the incumbent. But the two challengers to him, Jerry Cooey and Rhett Rahl, were there, so I asked them this question.
There's a very expensive new bridge needing to be built.
This is Jerry Cooey.
How would you like to pay for it? And feel free to talk about tolls.
Well, first of all, we have Matt Gaetz that can certainly furnish some money, and his dad is now running for election. The first and foremost thing that you have to do is you have to see what the state is available to do. I will tell you that I talked to Don Gaetz myself, and with a big smile on his face, he said, Jerry, I got away with that bridge in Pensacola, Florida with no toll. I don't think the governor's going to let that happen again. So we're going to have to kind of be realistic here and understand that there probably is going to be some kind of toll. But we need to first see, we've got elections.
November, I think things shape up a little bit. And look, this bridge in Navarre goes right hand in hand with military readiness. Let's not forget about that, because people making a left-hand turn and a right-hand turn to get to Navarre Beach is one of the problems in the traffic downtown. So, that's the funding. Everybody's just going to have to understand. I don't know if we get it for free this time.
Yeah, and, nobody wants to say the T word out loud. I mean, a couple of people mentioned it, but, you either got to pay for it on the front end and charge a toll, or bond it and charge a toll. Or just bond it, and that comes out of tax money, out of, ad valorem, so property taxes. And, he hinted at the beginning, maybe Matt Gaetz can come through with some money. I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't rely on that. And he said the state's going to be, they're not going to pay for it all, which is correct. Rhett Rowell, same question. These are of the six people that are running for these offices in the Republican primary coming up in, 19 days. Wow, so soon. Anyway, Rhett Rowell, his answer.
Same question for you, Rhett. How do you want to pay for that bridge? Feel free to talk about tolls.
I've not talked to Don Gaetz about this, but I can tell you we're not going to get it for free. All right, so there's a lot of planning that needs to be done. The talk about tolls was so premature. We don't know where the bridge is going to land. We don't know how big the bridge is going to be. We've got to do the study. We've got to make sure that our projects are shovel ready from on this end of 87 South. To wherever we're going to land that thing. It's not going to be free. When we took that bridge over, it was obsolete when we took it over. Okay, that's what's important that everybody needs to understand. But how important, how crucial is that bridge to tourism? It is the biggest single driver of tourism. There's not a lot of people coming to Jay to see our peanuts and cotton. All right, even though I welcome everybody because it's something to see, but that's not what drives the tourism. It's coming to Navarre, and it's that bridge. So we've got to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that we have everything in place. Again, I may come to that.
I'll be sure to tell Ryan Jenkins you think there's nothing to see in the North End.
Tell Ryan Jenkins that. Tell Ryan Jenkins.
I'm talking to him on Monday. I'm telling you.
Now, he kind of said a very similar thing to what Sam said, which is, it's premature to talk about tolls. We don't even know what's happening with the bridge. Again, I disagree. I mean, I appreciate the honesty that it's definitely not going to come for free. We're definitely going to have to pay money for it. This is a key, tourism expense. So you would think we could swing some tourism development money for that. But I don't think it's premature to talk about tolls, and I'll tell you why. We got Austin sitting in this morning for John Pickens. Now, Austin, I know you're kind of new to covering all the news. Been doing this for what, like a year?
Since October.
Okay, not even quite a year on the Pensacola right now in the afternoon. By the way, they do great in the afternoon. Austin does great in the afternoon, so listen to them from 4 to 7. But is Santa Rosa County big on new taxes?
No. As a Santa Rosa County resident, no,
you,
I'm not.
You need a modifier in front of that no. It rhymes with swell and starts with H. hell no. Santa Rosa County residents hate tax. I mean, they hate them. Hate them, hate them. How many times did they vote down everything related to the courthouse? And finally, the county commission said, we just have to, so we just pay for it, because Santa Rosa County hates taxes. So are they going to be super fond of a toll bridge to Navarre that's been a free bridge for a long time?
No.
No. So if it's going to be a toll bridge, it's going to be a toll bridge. If it's going to be a toll bridge, I don't know what the rate's going to be. Buck, two, three, four? I mean, I don't know. I hate toll bridges too, okay? But if it's going to be, let's just throw a number out there, $3. I think it may not be $5, and I think it won't be $1. So I'm just splitting the difference, okay? You're going to have to talk about that for a long time before Santa Rosa County residents are going to be like, oh, okay. And the way you get people in Santa Rosa to get adjusted to that very unpleasant future reality is you got to start talking about it now. And I know in an election year it's, hard to be brave, but, and maybe you get punished for being honest, but the honest answer is almost certainly going to be a toll bridge. We are going to do everything we can to prevent that from happening and to keep that toll low. But here's the numbers we're swinging at right now, and it looks like there's going to be at least this much gap. we can either take it out of your property taxes, and that means not doing roads projects, or we can charge a toll, which means users and tourists pay for it. It's going to have to be a toll, and we need to start getting adjusted to that. Because if you don't talk about that for years and years, nobody is ever going to be willing to step up and be brave about it. That's my own view. So I think they should be a little bit more proactive in the conversation about that subject. 5:55 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hello, this is Don Spencer, Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller. The clerk's office requires a leader that knows the entire office and its operations. That is why I'm endorsing Jason English as our next Clerk of Court. Jason has 18 years experience in the court system, 3 as my Chief Deputy Clerk. As I retire, he's the only candidate with the education and experience to successfully operate this office. Please join me on August 20th and elect Jason English as our next Clerk of Court and Comptroller. Thank you.
Paid for and approved by Jason English, Republican, Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Is life not made just a little bit better by a little CCR? Come on now. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the first U.S.-built F-16 fighter jets have apparently arrived in Ukraine. The planes have been awaited by Ukraine. Kyiv has not yet confirmed the arrival, but U.S. sources and Lithuania's foreign minister have now said that delivery was made. President Biden approved those jets for Ukraine back in August of 2023. The White House says right now it's too soon to say what the attacks in Lebanon and Iran could mean for potential ceasefire deals between Israel and Hamas. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby refusing to confirm reports that Israel killed a political leader of Hamas in Iran yesterday. Kirby telling reporters that the Biden administration will continue efforts to secure a ceasefire deal. And North Korea says they're open to resuming nuclear talks with the U.S. if Donald Trump is reelected in November. That according to Reuters, citing a North Korean diplomat who apparently defected to South Korea last month.
Well, the coveted Kim Jong-un endorsement.
The one Wow. Everybody was waiting for, right?
Yeah. You know, when they... See... It's the kind of thing where on the one hand you think, well, that's good, right? Trump could reenter negotiations. And then you think, so if you're a Democrat, you say, so North Korea thinks he's so weak that, right? You know, what Trump would say is, well, I'll talk to anybody, which he's shown a history of. Interesting. But then again, they're all just, you know, smoke and delay while they do what they want to do. So how much to make of it? Not much. I'll put it that way. David, thanks so much for the update.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.